so far?
Well, yeah, well, I think there's a handful of teams that I think have really helped themselves. I've been impressed with a lot of teams around the NFL. I think Houston is one of them, right? And I think that they had a really great free agent class, bringing in a lot of really important pieces. I think that pass rushers like DeNico Autry and Danielle Hunter, I think, are going to be fantastic for this team. I love the trade that they made moving back from 23 to now the second round. They made that trade with the Minnesota Vikings. Now they've got a second rounder this year and an additional second rounder next year. I feel like they are just keeping their foot on the gas to build this team the right way and really become one of the better teams in the NFL. I also love what Atlanta has done, you know, going out and getting Kirk Cousins, basically not being denied for Kirk Cousins, and setting up this offense and this team to win the NFC South, or at least be the favorites. And I think they're going to end up being the favorites when the season opens up. They also, you know, signed Darnell Mooney, signed Rondale Moore. They're just leaving no stone unturned. And I think Arthur Blank, their owner, is a reflection of how much he really wants to win. The Falcons have not been in that state since they had Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan back when they made the Super Bowl in 2017. So it's been a long time since the Falcons have been that relevant, but I think they're another team that really stood out to me of doing very, very well. I think obviously the Chiefs are a team that I think did very well. And then I think honestly the Buccaneers are a team that is underrated because they didn't bring a lot of new people in. They just retained a lot of their talent that could have left. And I think for a team that just won the NFC South, just won the division, that's important. And I just feel as though that just echoes the kind of culture that their general manager, Jason Light, has built. And so those are a handful of teams that just come to my mind that I really like the moves that they have made overall.
Let's flip it then. Who in your mind didn't do so well so far?
Yeah, the Titans, I don't really know what they're doing. The Titans are kind of like confusing to me. They're giving a lot of money to Tony Pollard to be a back, and I like what Tajay Spears gave them last year. And so they let Derrick Henry walk, and they've got a running back on a rookie contract capable of getting a lot more carries. And so they go out and they spend money to just bring another veteran in. I didn't really understand that move. Sure, they go and get themselves Calvin Ridley, and they're setting things up to allow Will Levis to have some good passing weapons to throw to. But I felt like it was an overpay for Ridley. So I didn't love what the Titans did. The Jags have made a lot of noise. The Jacksonville Jaguars have made a lot of noise. But I don't like how they let Calvin Ridley out of the building. I mean, for the longest time, it was, nope, Calvin's in hand. He's going to sign. And it felt like they just didn't handle the schedule or maybe the pressure of him hitting free agency the way that they should have. I like the Arik Armstead addition. I think that's a good one. I like the Ronald Darby addition. I think that's a good one as well. Mitch Morris on the offensive line. But you know, the Gabe Davis deal, it's like, man, that could have been money that was going to Ridley, and I think I like that situation better. So I just don't love what the Jags did, although it's not like they didn't make any good moves. Those are just two teams that kind of come to my mind that maybe didn't handle this as good as they could have.
Well, let's talk about the third state team. Dolphins kind of quiet. What do you see there?
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins, I didn't think that they were going to make a ton of moves in free agency. You know, this is a team that I look at their roster, and they're just kind of pretty much all in on the guys that they have brought to the table. You know, losing Christian Wilkins hurts, but they didn't really have the ability to overpay for him the way that the Raiders did. And when I say overpay, I don't necessarily mean that he's not worth it for the Raiders, but that's top-end money. I mean, with Aaron Donald now retiring, I mean, that's the most guaranteed money that any defensive tackle has, the second biggest overall defensive tackle contract behind just the one that Chris Jones signed. So, you know, Miami was never really going to be in that spot. I like the fact that they signed Shaq Barrett. That's a good signing to me. I like the Jordan Poyer signing as well. So it's a lot of smaller deals. Kendall Fuller, he came to my head. He has a move that they made last year. But this team already kind of like has their roster in place. They just need to be healthy and execute. So losing Christian Wilkins hurts, but the rest of the team is pretty solid. So they made some deals that I think still help out that.
Trevor Sikkema, Pro Football Focus, joining us here talking about the free agent signings up to this point. Look, I'm going to ask you about my Jets. Obviously, they needed help on the offensive line. They've made an attempt to go out and get it. Is the quality there in who they got?
Yeah, I think, you know, people were upset with the Jets because it felt like free agency kind of started and they weren't really making moves. And it's like, again, you know, this is a team that they made a lot of their moves last year, you know, and it was just kind of this opportunity for them to go all in last year, and they were all in, and then Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. So they obviously weren't going to be able to make a ton of different moves this year, but I like getting Morgan Moses in there, the trade, you know, bringing him to New York. I think it makes a lot of sense. The veteran presence, hopefully they can account for him, even with him being a little bit older. I like adding John Simpson to the interior of their offensive line. That was the big area that they had to hit. Ultimately, they gave themselves that flexibility to still be able to stick at number 10 in the draft, draft whatever offensive tackle they like best at that point, and plug and play that guy into next season. I think if you have that guy at left tackle, you got Morgan Moses at right tackle, you've got a stable of offensive linemen on the interior that I think can get it done for you. Well, then all of a sudden, that was the big glaring weakness that they had on their team. Yeah, I think that some people might have liked for them to bring in a wide receiver, but you know, I think Corey Davis, now that he's unretiring, is, you know, coming back into the fold. Maybe he ends up with New York when it's all said and done, so that's still on the table. I like the Javon Kinlaw addition as well. I think he's going to be good next to Quinn and Williams. So they did what they could. You know, I didn't think that it was going to be a huge splash offseason for the Jets, but they're right where they were last year as a team that still has on paper the ability to compete for a playoff spot in a playoff run.
All right, last two things. The Steelers, we all know that quarterback issues, and I get why they like Russell Wilson, who's probably better than anybody they had. And we all know that the coach there never had a losing season. He's done well. Is he the missing piece?
I think that he can be, right? I like the bet. You know, I'm not going to say for sure that he's going to put them over the top because it's a tough division, right? You got the Ravens, you got the Bengals, Joe Burrow's going to be back and he's fully healthy. You know, the Cleveland Browns have one of the best rosters in the NFL. So, you know, the answer to that question of whether he's the missing piece, it's kind of a complicated answer, but I like the swing that they're taking, right? Kenny Pickett was not what he needed to be last season in and out of that lineup, and Wilson actually played decently well towards the second half of last season before the Broncos were just like, yeah, we're moving on from you, so we might as well bench you. We're not going to let you get injured and then have to spend all that money on the injury guarantee that you have in your contract. So especially to get Wilson on a $1.3 million deal, I mean, that's vet minimum for a 9-time Pro Bowler. So it's an easy bet to make. I understand that Wilson's kind of a punching line, but for the Steelers specifically, I like this move. I think it was a very good move by them, and he'll get a chance to obviously prove himself in that division.
Last thing. It's hard for me to feel sorry for people that make millions of dollars, but I do feel sorry for Justin Fields. I don't know, with everything that's going on now, Trevor, what happens with him? What does happen with him in your view?
Yeah, I mean, with every day that goes on, I mean, remember, like 2 months ago, Mel Kiper at one point, I'm not, you know, trying to get on Mel at all for this. Like, Mel said, oh, maybe he goes to the Falcons for the number 8 overall pick. And we were talking about that at one point, and then, you know, time went on. It's like, all right, well, maybe it's 2 second-round picks. Maybe it's a second and a third. All right, well, maybe it's 1 third. Now I wonder if he just gets dealt for some sort of day 3 pick, a 5th-rounder, a 6th-rounder, because very clearly we've got quarterbacks signing in free agency, and we've got quarterbacks that are getting traded that aren't Justin Fields. And so I think that it's an unfortunate circumstance with him, because the amount of people that believe in Justin Fields, I think, was great for him at the start, right? It was a campaign for him to maybe still be the starting quarterback in Chicago, maybe for them to trade down like they did last year. But now you're in a situation where you've got such a hive, such a fan base for Justin Fields that does any team want him as a backup at this point? Like, I think about him going to the New Orleans Saints, for example. You know, that Jameis Winston, he moves on. He's with the Browns now. They need a backup quarterback. That could be a decent spot for him. But if Derek Carr starts to struggle in the first couple of weeks, are they going to hear it from the fan base to start Justin Fields when they know that that's not the best option for them? Do they even want to deal with that? And so now at this point, I wonder if teams even want to deal with that, with taking in Justin Fields. And that's not even to say that his rookie contract window is also coming up and you've got to make a decision on him financially. So you're right. I think that we've kind of gone too far with Fields. I wasn't sure if he was somebody who you absolutely give a starting job to going into next season. But now we're way too far on the other side of things. This is a very talented quarterback that I still feel like should have got a shot to be a preferred backup and maybe even compete for a starting job at least. And it doesn't look like he's getting that at all.
Yeah. It's too bad for him. As always, Trevor, where can people see your work?
Yeah, PFF.com. We got a lot of great draft stuff coming up.